peaceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you here, your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Hello, everybody. Welcome inside a brand new week of TCA. Matt Robinson with you on the road today, which means we're doing another remote show. It is a big week around here, around the sports landscape, for two big reasons. We have the return, by the end of this week, of actual, real, regular season Major League Baseball, and we have the return of Matty Lang, both after a long, cold winter. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
The biggest return since CM Punk at Survivor Series. Look in my eyes, what do you see?
That's about right. What's happening, man? How are you?
Matty.
Oh, my God.
You're already regretting the decision, right? Doing good, man. Good to, I know we chat all the time, but good to be back on the airwaves with you.
Yeah. Everything's good down there? The world's treating you all right?
World's pretty good. Didn't love the little snowstorm we had here in Toronto on Friday, but it's all melted already. So we're kind of back to maybe looking at a little spring weather since the boys of summer are coming back soon.
That was weird, eh? After the winter we've had, to finally, like, mid-March have another blast like that. I thought we might be done. But
yeah, and like, you guys get a little bit more snow up in Ottawa, and
if
you're
not this one,
most years, right? I can't actually remember any snow this winter. It was so, especially after last year, we had like ice and sleet all the time last year. This was pretty good. This wasn't a bad one. And you know me. I'm not a winter guy, right?
Like, I do
you can
know
play
that
hockey
actually, yeah.
in the summer. Yeah. That's my preference, right? I want to go to hockey in shorts and a tank top. That's my preferred way of playing hockey. I would have been one of the local Toronto guys who signed with Tampa. Let's be serious.
I could see you being a Dallas guy, a Tampa guy, maybe a Vegas guy. Had you,
you know what? Maybe even Arizona, right? I don't want the pressure. Let's be serious.
The problem is you were always just good in the room, right? Not great on the ice, just good in the room.
I was a locker room guy. I was keeping the vibes high.
100%.
I wasn't the guy in charge of the
locker room, but DJ, all these sorts of things.
Yeah, so. You need the guy who's chirping on the bench and patting people on the butts. That's where I fit in. I do my best work.
Butt Patty Matty, I believe was usually the nickname. You got a beer for us today, man? What are we going with?
Oh man, I was sharing with you yesterday. I might have. Might have had a couple too many beers, a couple too many Guinness last night. So
with a Sunday recording. We often get a Saturday night guest or a guest who's enjoyed his Saturday night. But
I'm not in bad shape or form, but the thought of a beer right now is not feeling good. So I am breaking the tall can out of your rules. I actually have a energy drink, right? Okay. Just trying to keep the vibes up, like I said, right?
The electrolytes going again, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I just had a Prime Austin Matthews.
Okay.
Little coconut-flavored water there for the boys, so.
Right.
A little on brand for us.
Okay, I don't mind that. I'm, of course, always up for a tall can on the air here. So I've got something, like I said, I'm on the road here. Came down on Thursday. It was the old man's birthday, so made a little surprise visit. Took the train down to Oshawa, got from there up to the Kawartha Lakes area, dropped in at our friends at Old Flame Brewing Company in Port Perry, picked up some stuff from there, and also then had to make a trip to the Lindsay Brewing Company. And this is going to be one from there. This is one I haven't had before. You know, it's a Sunday afternoon, nothing crazy here. It is called their Lock 33 Golden Ale. Lock 33, of course, their Lindsay Lock on the Trent Severn Waterway between...
Oh, right on, okay.
Yeah, between Sturgeon Lake and Lake Scugog. Just a straight up golden ale coming in at 5% from the Lindsay Brewing Company. I've tried most of their stuff before, but I don't think I've had this one. I think this was new when I rolled into the brewery, so that's the one we've grabbed for the show today, man.
Love it. Now, for those good listeners who have never seen a picture of Matt, because he doesn't post a lot of photos of himself, right? There is no way.
Staunch face for radio guy.
There is no way you surprised your father. You were far too big of a man. you were a towering individual.
Yeah. So my sister,
there's no way he didn't hear your footsteps coming.
No, and that's the other thing. Yeah, there's nothing stealth about me. I'm not a good tiptoe guy. I'm not a sneaky guy. The size doesn't help, but there's a lot of things going on there. So my sister lives not far from my parents, so I went to her house first upon arriving and then made my way over with them. And I was talking to my nephew, who's 5 years old, and I said, you know, I'm a present for Grandpa. I'm a surprise for Grandpa. Do you want to wrap me up? And he goes, no, but he does want it to be a surprise. He wants to help me come over, and he's like, you can hide. And I'm like, dude, I'm 6'3", 250. I don't hide easy, right? But he was getting into it a little bit. He asked me while we were having dinner, he's like, is my house your new secret hideout? And I'm like, that's what we'll call it, ma'am. We'll give it a title. So it was fun. It was great to get up there.
That's awesome, dude.
See Dad, see, you know, and you know, Mom and the kids and everything else, and have a little birthday cake and a couple pints. So, yeah, it's been a nice weekend down here.
That's great, brother. That's great.
Yeah. Why don't we start on the baseball thing? Look, we'll get maybe in a little while to the fallout from Matthews versus McDavid and Leafs and Oilers and stuff. By the time the good listener hears this, it'll be Monday, so both the Sens and the Leafs will have played a Sunday night game as well. You and I don't have the benefit of being able to predict the future. We're not sure how these Sunday night games are going to pour out, but
I don't like them. Don't like them. It's very anti-hockey.
Can I say, though, I do like the 6 o'clock start. If we're going to do this, crank it up just an hour earlier. Let us all, you know, for those of us like Maddie who maybe had a late Saturday night, let's wrap it up a little earlier and maybe we can recover. So we'll get to the hockey side of this in a bit. But as we sit here on Sunday afternoon, there is only one Blue Jays spring training game left before the regular season starts. That's going to be started by Kevin Gausman. He's hoping to go about 3 innings. That is a huge relief based on the spring that he's had. And if everything goes well in that start, he's hoping to be the number 5 starter. After 4 games in Tampa, that would mean Gausman would pitch on the first game in Houston next week. So good news there, we think. We also saw on Sunday afternoon that manager John Schneider announced Daniel Vogelbach, Ernie Clement, and Davis Schneider have all made the team. There's been some excitement around the Joey Votto thing. That got set back a little because some dipshit left a bat on the ground. He's tripped and hurt his ankle or whatever, so he's been delayed there. I don't think they've ruled anything out, but for now, this is what they're breaking camp with. Where are you at with the Blue Jays headed into opening day, the roster they've set? Last year was a frustrating season. This was another frustrating off season, but it is a new year. There is optimism abound again. Everybody starts at 0-0. You feel like you're in it. You know, this could be the year. Where are you at with the Blue Jays?
Oh, man. Listen, it was an awful offseason for us, right? And I think we both expressed to each other quite a bit of frustration because this team has just been knocking at the door. And they, you know, they really didn't make any huge moves this offseason. I did have to remind myself, though, that the last couple seasons we did bring in big free agents. Mm-hmm. It's not like this team was 81-81. Right. This is a good baseball team. I think there is adding to the frustration, you know, is that the Yankees improved.
Yeah. Having Juan Soto arrive in our division wasn't something I was overly excited about.
Not a big fan of that. Yeah. I got to be honest. You know, like seeing him swing the bat in Yankee Stadium and having to come here in the middle of summer where, you know, that ball is going to fly. Yeah, didn't love it. I did like to see Cole, you know, is out a couple weeks. You don't wish injury on people, but he seems like a little bit of an asshole. So I don't feel bad about it.
Right.
You know, definitely, you know, the Gausman shoulder stuff, not great. I mean, Manoah's been, you know, dealing with the same thing. I believe, I'm a little bit more worried with Romano because it seems like it's his elbow and
same
some
with
inflammation.
Swanson, I believe. Yeah. The back end of that bullpen, we're not getting off to a great start with.
You need a good bullpen. Now, the one thing is it's baseball and there's always relievers to pick up at some point, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's always getting moved if we need somebody, if somebody can't fill that role for Romano.
And I think we forget a little bit, right, that because he only pitched for like the last month, we got Chad Green now. He's got some experience closing out games. Like, there's some okay pieces still, but you don't want to see your closer and your setup guy from last year both starting the season with some questions around their pitching arms.
Huge questions, right? And I'm a big Romano fan, not just because he's a Toronto guy, but he's got the right demeanor to be a closer. And some good stuff. I thought they just overused him last year and they kind of burnt him out by the time the All-Star game came through, right? The Jays were in just way too many one-run games at the beginning through April. And it just seemed like after the All-Star game, remember he hurt his back. He left the All-Star game after like one pitch.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah. I do feel like he was probably a little beat up and maybe just exhausted by the end of the season. Now, listen, you're a pro baseball player. You got to get yourself in shape to do that. But I do think he's got the stuff to be a really good closer in this league. So again, really, really tough there. I love what we're seeing with Clement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been pretty dynamic. Schneider's looked good. Bo's looked great, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you and I were texting even from like game two in the spring training. And
well, we're all saying to each other, don't read anything into it, but we immediately read everything into it.
Immediately read into it and just send you 10 messages in a row. Yeah, what it's like to be a friend with me is like you don't hear from me for a week and then 10 straight messages complaining about spring training baseball, right? But I was going to say, you know, Bo's been great. I think he, you know, his swing is just amazing. I love that guy's swing. He reminds me a little like, you know, Paul Molitor, kind of like the way he just is able to kind of just choke down on the bat on those 0-2 counts, 1-1 counts, and just always manages to find, you know, find some space on the field. Mm-hmm. But Vladdy has looked better.
Yeah.
I know he didn't hit a ton of home runs, but his swing looks back to normal. Last year, you know, you get the yips and it's hard to correct those sometimes, but
well, one of the
his swing looks more powerful.
Very much about is like, was it the first or second week of May where he fouled one off his knee? Like he really messed his knee up for a couple weeks. He did sit for a couple games and then came back. And you wonder, did he play the rest of the season with a bit of a bum knee, right? Like you sort of forget about it. But he probably did. If it hurts every day, that's something he's dealing with. So, you know, I don't want to give him any excuses. He needs to be better because it wasn't just his hitting. His first base went from being gold glove caliber to literally one of the worst in the league. So you need a bounce back from that guy. But maybe there was legitimate reason last year that he wasn't able to deliver what we expect of him.
Yeah, I always think too, you know, like when you're playing sports and you're out there, even at like a rec level or a child, you know, you're a kid playing rec ball. If you're not hitting in baseball, you kind of like it just gets in your mind, right? The only other sport I can really think of that's similar is golf, right? And when it's in your head, you just, and then you're on the field and you're thinking about the at bat and it does take away. Listen, he didn't have a great season, but he's still a kid, right? Like he is, what is he, 25 this year?
Something like that.
You know off the top of your head better than I would, but he's a young guy.
I appreciate
still,
you giving me that credit, but I don't.
I mean, I just believe everything I hear when you say it on the podcast.
Say it confidently and people will believe you.
Exactly. I don't fact check. Let's be serious. You know, there's too much to worry about.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's a young guy still. He's what, full season number 4 coming up.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, he hits 35 a year. Usually last year was an off year. You chalk it up, right? It just didn't seem when he hit the ball hard. He just didn't seem to, you know, send it right to a fielder. I still think he's a superstar. And I, you know, he still has to make that jump, but I still think he has that in him. I'm looking forward to the season. It looks like he really got himself in good shape. I'm not a big baseball players have to have, you know, six pack abs type of guy. Cause really
we've
you
all
need
seen
the weight.
Prince Fielder kill it or David Wells kill it or
like you need the weight
Love
as
baseball.
A pitcher and you need the weight as a hitter to transfer that, you know, transfer the force into the bat or into the ball. So, you know, I don't think he needs to be looking like a CrossFit athlete, but he definitely looks stronger. You know, fingers crossed, man. I don't know if we're good enough to win the division. That's the struggle. Such a hard division. Luckily, Boston looks like they suck, which is great.
I love that.
But,
you
know, you can never count out the Devil Rays. Mm-hmm. They're always going to have some random,
some guy you and I have never heard of who's going to come up in May and compete for Rookie of the Year.
Happens like every year, right? So you chalk that up. They're never going to be bad, but man, Baltimore is just so freaking dynamic.
Yeah,
and the Yankees spent some money, right? And
well,
they're never going to be.
The Orioles went and got a legit ace this year too, right? Like in Corbin Burns, they go out and the division did not get any easier this year. So.
Is Corbin Burns that good?
Wow,
is
he's better than anything they had last year.
Fair. I just, you know, he won his Cy Young. In the shortened season,
Yeah, he's not Garrett Cole, but he's a good
little bit of an asterisk. He's coming to a tougher division. Like, yeah, he was playing in the central out there, right?
Sure.
In the NL, like, you know, a little bit of an easier way. Mm-hmm. I think of it the same way I think because Robbie Ray won his Cy Young that year too. You're like, okay, like, you can put together two good months, but are you an ace? Are you Gausman? Are you even Bassett to an extent? Like, he's Bassett, I'm sure, but I don't think that's a far stretch.
I think you might be underselling the guy just a little bit with the Bassett comparison. I love Chris Bassett, but he's better than Bassett.
Let's see him pitch the AL.
All right.
That's all I'm saying, right?
When he
shows up in the last couple months in a pennant race, you know, at Yankee Stadium and at Sky Dome.
Yeah.
Hashtag Roger Center. let's see how that goes, right? Let's see him under some real pressure. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, the NL Central is a little bit softer. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that's unfair. It certainly is softer. And so we'll see how that pans out. As you mentioned, Garrett Cole is now going to miss at least a month, probably closer to two, and then they'll reevaluate. That's a huge blow to the Yankees, who did go out and get Juan Soto this year. We'll see what they look like. Tampa, I don't make baseball predictions because it's a long season and it's a crazy season, but I do read all the people way smarter than me who do these projections, and it seems like a lot of them are finally this year saying that this could be the year where Tampa finally takes a step back. I don't know, but I've made that bet before and lost it every time. So I expect Tampa will still be good, even if the experts are saying there's a chance this is the... Look, they lose pieces every year. They've had to deal away a couple of pitchers. We'll see what happens there. Boston, you're right, is going to be bad. But these teams in the AL Central get to get fat off of Kansas City. And, you know, I think we expect Minnesota will be pretty good. I think there's a chance Cleveland can be pretty good. And Detroit, everyone's been waiting with all their young talent to take a step forward. So I think this low end of the wild card could be pretty tough. Seattle will always be hanging around, right? You know, Houston's probably going to win that division, but Seattle will be in the mix. I don't know what you, as we set out on a, you know, 6 month regular season here, are you expecting the Jays to make the Blue Jays? Like, is that for the Jays to make the playoffs? Do you think that is the most likely outcome? Do you expect it to kind of come right down to that final weekend and we'll see what happens? Or are you more pessimistic? You sort of expect that they might miss this year, but with a chance to still make it. What's your level of confidence that at the end of the season, this will be a playoff team?
I still think we're a wild card team.
Yeah.
I don't see, unless there's an injury, you know, we can never predict that. Unless there's an injury to somebody very important in right. Baltimore, I don't see us passing them. Now, listen, they also, the thing about baseball, right? It's statistics and it's regression to the mean all the time, right? So why I think Vladdy's going to have a good year is because I think he's going to regress in a positive way,
yes,
right? He's going to get back to who he normally is, right? He didn't change. He just had a bad year. Baltimore, all their rookies were just firing last year. And mm-hmm. it seemed like they were just, they had a crazy amount of come from behind victories yep. in like the seventh and eighth inning.
And their record in one run games, which is often a coin flip, that came up heads for them way more often than it came up tails.
We saw it with the Minnesota Vikings last year in the last football season. They had a crazy come from behind. You know, they were winning with, you know, under one score way too many times. Now they regressed, and you could say it's because of injuries, but hey, that's part of the regression, right?
Sure.
Like, you were kind of due for some bad luck on your side.
Yeah.
Over 162 games, do they come back a little bit to earth? Maybe. And, you know, I think if you're a Jays fan, you're hoping they do. But if that's the case, and we're looking for an AL East title, it's definitely coming down to the last weekend. We're probably coming down to the last week anyways to get into the wild card, because like you just spelt out for everybody, it's a tough, tough way to get wins in this league when you're in the AL East.
Yeah.
Right, you don't have those easy games like you mentioned, right? So
now the schedule has been lightened up a little bit, but still not to the same degree. Like, it's still harder in the East. There's no way around that. It just is.
Yeah, it was nice last year not having to watch the Yankees and Red Sox 50 times. Fuck, you know,
it's
just
old.
Like, okay, like, can we see somebody else here? Like, I'm just sick of going to Fenway games and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but it does mean you're going to Colorado or whatever. Like, I know what you're saying.
Fair.
Like, that's an easier team to beat in theory, but it's not exactly a compelling replacement. But it does level out the schedule. So that's fine. I am curious. You're sitting right downtown there in the Big Smoke. How much buzz this year is around the renovations to the Rogers Center? Last year we saw phase one, which was all, you know, the new outfield district. And there was some cool stuff there. It gave the building a different feel. I'm not sure how many games you got to last year. This year it feels like more of what, like, there's still going to be a noticeable change when you're watching on TV when you're in the building, but more of it was underground, right? The new complex for the players to train and things like that, new private clubs. But they've eliminated a pile of foul territory. The Jays had the second most foul territory in MLB behind only Oakland, which, man, Oakland's foul territory felt cavernous. You could run for miles into foul territory. Toronto really wasn't that far behind. It was just the way it was presented didn't feel quite as bad. So that'll be a big change. Cup holders in seats now in the infield. It's going to be a big deal for people. We've wanted those for a long time. The seats have been turned so that you'll actually be facing the game, which is a nice touch.
I like that. That's the biggest thing to me, is actually having it aimed at the field properly.
Yeah,
is a huge, huge thing, I think, as a fan, right? Because you remember, like, it was just a bowl, right? Like, every seat was just kind of facing inwards instead of at the plate.
Right.
And now that they're just really using the dome for baseball games,
that's it. That's the
football there anymore.
That's the vibe they say they're going for, right? Is that this is now a baseball stadium as opposed to an all-purpose stadium. And so that makes sense. I like that. I don't know how many games you got to last year down where with the very noticeable outfield district, all those changes and checking that out. You know, in comparison, are you at all interested this year in getting down there to see the renovations, or, you know, does that involve high roller Maddie having to roll out an extra couple bucks to check out the prime seats? Do the renos do anything for you this year in terms of wanting to get down there?
You know, it took me a little while to get to a game last year, and I don't really know why. It just kind of just took some time for me to kind of get into the baseball season. But once I was there, I was like, this is awesome. This is really good now. So I ended up getting to quite a few games towards the end of the season. Just again, because the way they set out the bars or the social areas, whatever they were calling it, was really nice. Cause you buy a cheap ticket and kind of hang out at the bar, and there was TVs and good sight lines. So it was awesome, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The toony hot dog nights were not great because they're just, you know, cold by the time they're actually selling them to you, and a huge lineup. But, you know, you take the wins and the losses.
Sure.
I don't think I'm any more excited this year to check them out for the renovations.
Okay.
Because like you said, most of it was done last year. They really did a great job. Like, you got to give them credit on that. I am looking forward to seeing the game in a baseball stadium for once, right? We've been to Old Yankee and Fenway and stuff like that, and there is a difference when the seats are done properly. Sure. Let's just say it. And now you mentioned the foul territory. I am interested to see what that does to maybe some of our good luck as far as our pitchers goes, right?
Yep. Those defenders to go get those pop-up foul balls for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many times was Chappie just getting pop-outs on the third base sign?
Donaldson
year,
got
right?
fat so, off that stuff. He used to just charge into the third row of the stands, like,
oh, yeah.
After a 50-meter sprint and go grab something. So it should, in that regard, improve offense, right? Because you've got more of those balls that are foul are just going to carry into the stands, and so you get another crack at it. So, yeah, we'll see, you know, what that does to your pitching and your defense, which your defense you may have already downgraded a little with. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, but you're right. Like, that foul territory is going to noticeably change the way the ballpark plays.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But you know what? Like, listen, it's – I always feel like this in March with baseball, because it's still cold out. There's still a little bit of snow here outside.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of just get in that frame of mind where you think in Blue Jays baseball, it's like a hot Sunday afternoon in July and August, right? And like that excitement will come around. I hadn't felt as much buzz from the city with the Jays either. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, our Leafs are playing pretty good hockey right now. People are way more excited about that. And TFC just really kicked off the other day too. So it seems like there's a little bit more interest on that from people I'm seeing and just, you know, meeting in the city.
Yeah.
But again, it's March, right? It's, we all know the Jays are going on, but unless you're a diehard, you're probably not as excited yet. And they're, you know, they don't come home for a little while still too, right?
Yeah,
they
got to get those renovations road trip done to start. Yeah.
That doesn't help, right? Like, yeah, they want to get you hyped up about the team, but you're like, eh, call me mid-April.
And now those were necessary evils. We did it last year as well, right? In case something went wrong with the renovations, they wanted a little breathing room that we would have the extra 10 days. So you're going to go play three series on the road to start. It's not ideal, but it's not the end of the world. And it, had there been some sort of horrible issue with the renovations, it gives you a little extra time to clean it up. Now, by the sounds of it, everything is on track. And those 10 days wouldn't have been necessary, but you can't blame them for building it in. It's just the way it had to be, right?
Yeah. And listen, you know, everything is going good for Rogers PR right now. They're no longer the most hated company in Canada. Thank you, Bell Media and Loblaws.
Loblaws, for sure. Shooting up the rankings.
They've had a great season. Just unbelievable season. Just, you know, top tier villainry, quite frankly, right? Just,
yeah.
Galen Weston is trying to be hater of the
main event. Heel level Loblaws.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the only person with more heat than The Rock right now. Just loving the villains.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
So, as we kind of move towards the season, then, you know, you said it took a little while last season to get in there. Have you bought tickets? Any games lined up for those first few series? You're going to kind of wait and see how it starts. It's not like the Jays are hard to get tickets for. You know, sometimes demand is higher than others, but Matty knows people. Matty's a connected guy. He can get down to the ballpark whenever he wants to. Yeah, exactly.
You
know, are you planning to be there for the home opener or anything like that?
No, and you know, I did look at getting home opener tickets before the Ohtani kerfuffle happened.
Yes.
But as soon as that was an option, those were gone.
The day that the plane was flying from California to Toronto, everyone was like, the Jays should have got out in front of that for PR. Don't get your fans all excited for no reason. They sold a pile of tickets and hats and whatever that day. It sucks as a Jays fan that we had to go on that roller coaster, but it was a good day for business, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they were going to let that go, right? Like, they were just going to be like, all right, yeah, let's...
And we never said anything. Yeah.
All indications are, like, they were talking to him, right?
Yeah, they
probably thought they had a chance, for real. But they obviously knew he wasn't coming on a plane.
Right. Yes, they knew he was not on that flight.
Because somebody would have been there to pick him up, right? Like, he's not just coming unannounced.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't come anywhere unannounced, right? Like, so he definitely was. And, you know... Now we know he was probably, you know, in LA making sports bets, but
yikes.
Now that we know the truth.
just you and Shohei, hey, out there keeping the betting industry alive.
Somebody's gotta help out, right? You know? what did we see? Like, he's $4 million transfer or something to some games. Oh, I don't know.
I didn't catch it.
Did you see all this stuff? Like, there's a couple games that it looks like he might have bet against himself.
Ooh, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, I'll have to send you the link.
Yeah, I've been a little, as you know, out of the loop over the last few days as this story exploded. So, I've sort of got the gist of it. I haven't seen all the gruesome details yet. So,
yeah, I'll have to send it over to you, and maybe you can post it for anybody listening.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's some really bad looking things where the wire transfer to the bookie is the same day as he's pitching, and doesn't look good.
Oh boy.
So it's the Dodgers, so, you know, I'm sure they'll find some way to, like, fix it. Dodgers and the Yankees, right? Like, the favorite kids.
They get the favorite nicer kids. Baseballs. Yeah.
Always better, right?
Yeah, no, so nothing lined up in terms of you'll first attend?
No, the first couple times I'll head out to the stadium, it'll be, hey, it's a nice day. It's a nice Saturday. It's a nice Sunday. And, you know, just walk over and get some tickets on the way.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of nice because you don't even have to get, you know, everything's digital tickets. So you can just, as you're walking over, you're buying tickets.
True enough, yeah.
Ticketmaster, right? Like, it's a pretty easy thing. You don't have to worry about, like, the scalpers and all that shit now. And even with, what are they going down to, 37,000 people?
Yeah, it's somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, it's still not tough to get a ticket at, you know, mid-season,
yep.
Let's say, right? Like, they don't really start to get popping until towards the end of summer, and then even then it's still only really weekend.
Remember, even last year, right, the second, third week of September, attendance went way down when Texas was in town for that big four-game series. And
everyone kind of
flipped out a little bit. I don't know. It was uncommon in the sense that, like, these were important games. It was a little weird that more people weren't going. But when you looked at the trends, you know, the first week or two back to school, right, made it hard for parents.
Even if
you weren't looking to take your kids, you still probably had to be home to help your kids, you know, get ready for school again and stuff like that for those first few weeks. I don't know how big of a deal it was, right?
You're right. I'm remembering that now. It was a pretty big deal, but yeah, it was a big series, but it was during the week and people were kind of pissed about it. I'm like, yeah, they kind of hit a little bit of a lull there too.
That's right.
That people were kind of getting mad about them.
Yeah.
And I think too, you know, we don't see this a lot in Toronto because it's Toronto. But people have less money to spend right now.
Yes.
And I think that was already happening last summer. And I think people are just being a little bit more cognizant about where they're spending their money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, the Leafs, people are still shelling out good money for. But the Raptors, you know, every ticket sold, but not everybody's going every game. Because, you know, it's not just the ticket price, right? It's getting there. It's the time. It's the, you're buying merchandise. You're buying drinks. You're buying food.
And the Raptors stink.
They are awful.
They really are
god awful right now.
But some of that's self-inflicted. Like, some of that is, you know, that they intended to. They sold a little bit and whatever else, but they never saw what was going to happen to poor RJ Barrett's family, and he was going to need to take a little time away and things like that. Right? Like, they're spiraling right now. And at this point, you just let it happen, don't you?
Well, that's it. I think as soon as Scotty got hurt, you know, he broke his hand. I think they were like, all right, you know. Like,
lost season.
We're gonna let RJ cook a little bit. We're gonna let IQ cook a bit. But we're, you know, come the fourth quarter, we're gonna let the other team get a couple buckets here. Like, they're not trying to win anymore, right? So I think they, with the loss yesterday, they're finally down to sixth worst team, which is very important because when they traded for Jakob Poeltl, who's also hurt,
mm-hmm.
I think he tore his thumb, right? Which is never a good one. When they traded for him last year, they traded this year's first round pick because obviously they didn't expect to be bad. And it's protected, though. So it's still a draft lottery, right? But having the sixth best odds is a lot better than, because if it's a top six pick, the Raptors keep the pick.
Right.
And there's been a lot of talk of, oh, you know, they sucked this year and there's no real good, like, consensus players to even be all-stars. But every year, it's a crapshoot in every sport, right? Like, so few guys are guaranteed. I don't love the idea of, you know, tanking a season because I think it teaches teams bad habits, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And, you know, you see it in basketball, right? That's why basketball, all these teams are just awful for so long because they don't play meaningful games. And I don't think
you just reinforce
those bad habits.
In this regard, I always think of Thomas Caberle, who, after the lockout, was a part of some awful Leaf teams until 2011. And look, he was perfectly capable on some bad teams of still being able to run your number one power play and stuff like that. But they trade him to Boston, and Boston still expects to be getting a top pair defenseman, at least for Toronto. He wasn't going to be on their top pair necessarily. But they go deep that year. They go all the way to the final and win the cup. And he stinks. He wasn't capable of playing. He was trained to lose by then, right? He'd done it for so long. And you look at Buffalo, how many rebuilds have the Sabres been through? And those guys just keep coming up in losing environments. It's dangerous to do it. Sometimes you can't get out of it. Like, some teams are lucky. They get down there. They draft a couple. Like, let's face it, the Leafs got lucky. While they were bad, they went and got Willie, they got Mitch, and they got Matthews. Awesome. And off you go. And yeah, it hasn't quite yet worked out in the playoffs, but they've turned into a good team. Buffalo's drafted good players, Rasmus Dahlin and Jack Eichel, and like they've gotten guys, but it's never been enough, and the rest of the guys around them have gotten used to losing. And I do wonder a little bit about that with the Raptors, in that the sense that they haven't been terrible for as long as these other teams I'm referencing. Even the Senators, they're having a hard time pulling the nose up, right? And pulling out of that spin with really good young talent. You got to be worried a little bit about that long-term tank and rebuild and what that does to the guys around the young pieces that you draft.
I think that's just, you know, fandom is a weird thing, right? And I think too many fans are like, it's either championship or bust.
Yeah.
and you see it a lot. You know how critical I am of Raptor fans, right? Because they're not the smartest overall, right? And I'm sorry if you're one of them listening to this.
You're
right?
one
but
of them.
It's yeah, but I'm not counting me.
No, no, Maddie's right. Maddie is one of the smartest.
No, I'm the president of the smart fans. And but they're Raptor fans. So many of them came. Even they were real casual fans a lot. Then championship season comes up, right? They start thinking, hey, this is what we expect. And it's good to expect that. The next season was really good. I think we had a legitimate chance even without Kawhi until COVID hit, and that really just fucked up the season.
Right. That was when they went to the bubble at Disney World.
Yes, and they were second place going into the bubble, right?
Yeah.
Just behind Milwaukee. They were having a great season. Now, the problem with that is that all these fans forget that we got knocked out for like six playoffs in a row in the first round.
Right.
But you didn't give up on the team. You went, okay, let's add a piece. Mm-hmm. You got to be a certain level to start doing things like adding Kawhi. You don't go after Kawhi if we don't have Lowry and Serge and all these guys, we OG and Siakam on the come up. You don't make a move to get a guy like that if you aren't in play to get a guy like that either, right? So the fandom thing is always like, oh, we should have tanked last year. I'm like, we had Siakam and OG. Like, that team isn't tanking. Should they have been better than eighth place going into a playoff? Yeah, but they wanted to see, they thought that team was gonna be better. We still had Freddie as well. It still had the look of a very good NBA team.
Sure.
They were really missing a closer. Last year, they were missing a closer. Even having a mid-level closer like an RJ Barrett would have been huge for them last year, and I think they would have done a lot better. They had one of the worst end-of-games records. It was almost like, statistically speaking, they finished with six less wins than they should have, which, again, regression to that mean.
Yep.
They thought it was going to be better this year, and it wasn't. OG clearly wanted out. And then, then you have to break it up, right? Again, you're not going to keep Siakam on this team, but you break it up, and you don't know who these guys in the draft are going to be good. You never do.
Well, let me ask you then, on the Raptors here, since we're here, moving forward, I guess it depends what happens with this draft pick and whether they end up keeping it. And what kind of summer will you be looking for out of the Raptors this year? Would you embrace the idea that for one more year they should try and bottom out and get a big pick again next year and really do this rebuild right? Or do you think that there's going to be too much talent on this team next year when you look at the guys that they have that, they're probably next year not going to be a championship team, but with a healthy season, they might be a playoff team. What would you be looking to do going into next season for the Raptors?
Saying this off the top of my head, because I don't know who is the free agent class completely, if I have to be quite honest.
Well, and the Raps have always had trouble landing top-end free agents.
Top-end, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I don't know if there's much trade chip stuff going on, unless you're going to move Bruce Bowen, I guess, with one more year on his contract, which would be very attractive, I think, to a contending team, but... I can't see him finishing next season fully with the Raptors, unless the Raptors are maybe a little bit better than we think. I think they kind of, they'll be in the play-in next year. They're too talented. You've got, between Scotty, IQ, and RJ, there's just too much talent there for them. I mean, that puts you at least middle of the league. With those talented guys, they're, not proven closers or
not good enough to win, but too
like
good to tank, right? Like
too good to tank. Yeah. They're probably a 500 team next year. That's where I had them this year with Siakam and OG at the beginning of the season.
Right.
I think they fit better this year since the trades. I think RJ, IQ, and you've got Scotty doing a little ball handling as well. Olynyk has actually been an absolute revelation, and I'm happy they re-signed him already moving into next year. I think he fits better than Jakob Poeltl on this team, a guy who is more of a playmaking big. It looks good. Maybe they, they fill in with some kind of those 6-7 guy, good guy off the bench. Maybe, they need some scoring in their second unit. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. They don't have any.
Yeah.
Losing, Delano is looking like a bad move right now, but he wanted playing time and we didn't have any for him. So he'd be great at the moment. But, you know, if we have him, maybe we don't go and get IQ. And I think IQ has the potential to be a star player. We have to see how he's handling these like full-time minutes instead of just being a bench guy like he was in New York.
Right.
I don't think we're seeing a big move. Maybe we see some work around the edges. I think that's really what we can expect. But again, I think we're looking at a 500 team next year, looking to make a move next summer. And I think that's fair.
What do you make of the new coach this year? I've seen, look, you know me, I follow the team, but I'm not watching every minute. But I'm seeing some discontent on my Twitter timeline. Is that just losing and that fans get frustrated by that and are taking it out on the coach because that's an easy target? Or is there legitimate reason for criticism there?
Oh, yeah, he's awful.
Okay.
Just plain and simple, he's awful. He is, and this isn't like, you know, he looks like a nice guy. I don't know him. I don't anything like that. I've never met him at an event or anything. He is a vibes guy. You know, he's a players coach type thing. He is showing an inability to, you know, in gameplay, coming out of timeouts, when he's calling his timeouts, some of his defensive strategy. They clearly brought him in as somebody to help develop players. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's doing that, right? There was one point I didn't think he was going to make it out of the season. He was pretty bad. Now, he seemed to improve. You know, there's, you know, first half of every game, they're pretty competitive right now, even with bad team. I don't know if he's the type of coach who can coach stars, though, right? And as this team hopefully improves, like I said, I don't think he's a guy who's going to get you over the hump.
Right.
So I could see, you know, next year, you know, maybe
that
mid-season,
fast, eh?
Maybe he's, I really don't think he makes it at the next year, or he gets canned at the end of next season or something, because they're going to need a coach to take them strategy wise up a level. But, you know, he's probably a guy who should be the number two on a bench and be one of the best assistant coaches in the NBA.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm seeing, what I've read some people smarter than you or I talk about as well. He's just not, yeah, he's there for development. And again, you know, you see coaches like that get brought into young teams all the time in every sport, and then they know they're going to get moved on at some point.
Looking he just true, Charlie Montoyo.
poor Charlie.
Yeah.
Poor Charlie. With those bongo drums.
Yeah, you're here to do the losing, and when it's time to turn
yeah,
around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, then we're going to bring Gibby back and win some games,
yeah.
Right? That's what we do here, right?
That's
Gibby,
a
Gibby
vibes
on the phone,
guy, yeah.
Right? But yeah, he was good, though. I like Gibby. He was kind of just the way he would take those pressers at the end of the game on the computer chair, just laid back. That's a ball coach I want to play for
100%,
right there, you know,
man.
Just a dipper in the bottom lip, and he's got the spitter right beside him. That was all class baseball coach.
100%, man. I do want to mention, I got another beer sitting here. I know you're doing the dry out thing for your Sunday afternoon.
No, sir, Matt, before you move on, is a legitimate question I have here that we had prepped. I didn't prep you at all on this, obviously, but we know baseball players. It's a long season. It's boring.
Mm-hmm.
They love a little tobacco in their lip.
They do.
Right? I always thought it was all just birdseed growing up, but I learned as an adult it was all tobacco, which is fine. You know, teach their own.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing nowadays is the Zins, the nicotine. And, Zins just the biggest brand that everybody kind of knows. But it's kind of become the thing now. Right? So it's like a nicotine pouch. For those of you who don't know, don't go buy them. It's addictive. Don't do that. We're not sponsored by Zin yet anyway.
We are
so
not.
Don't go buying it. And
we
if
will
you
tell
see
you
kids,
to buy it if they do start sending some money
our
way.
100%, I will wear all the swag they want me to. Get the tattoo.
Yeah.
Zin, call me. Call me, buddy. if you see it, if you guys got kids and you see your kids with it, throw it out or send it to me so they don't take it. But I'm wondering, you know, it's this whole, we always make fun of, I make fun of people who vape. Because
yes.
I'm like, if you want to smoke, smoke. Like, be a man, smoke, right? Like,
okay.
Don't be an idiot.
So let me tell you my thing just quickly on this, on the vape thing. If you used to smoke and you're looking to stop, good for you on the vape. You're doing your best. It is a step in the right direction. It fills that kind of
sure.
oral fixation. Like, these, if you're somebody who never smoked and you're like 38 years old and you see the cool kids vaping and you think that's something I should start doing, you're a loser. Don't do it. Just do not. And I know these people. I have met these people who I know. I have a couple buddies who have never smoked in their lives and started vaping. I'm like, what are you doing?
What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
What has gone horribly wrong in your life?
No, exactly. And growing up playing hockey, like, it's not unusual to get a dart every once in a while.
Yep.
Every once in a while will indulge myself.
Sure.
And, it was at the August long weekend. My buddy was up from the US. He's the same way. I got a small pack. We had probably two each. I ended up throwing them all out by the end of the long weekend. We had two each, but it was like, okay, that's it. Mm-hmm. Little treat, whatever it was. But I'm like, I just have the smoke.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, don't be a loser, right? Like, don't go get a watermelon flavor, spicy watermelon or whatever. Like,
right.
Same thing with energy drinks. Like, you see you go to the store now and it's like half the convenience store is just energy drinks. Mm-hmm. It's like, just get a fucking coffee, man. Just respect traditions. Just get an espresso, get a coffee. I don't care. But you look like an idiot walking around with your lemon, lime, watermelon, sour, like.
Maddie's just throwing elbows at everybody.
Oh, man. These kids. This is where I'm going with the baseball thing, though. You knew the baseball players, right? I always think there was one hilarious video of, we don't say his name anymore, but Asuna, redacted. Where he's warming up and he goes to, they call his number and he starts going out and he pats his buddy, goes, uh-oh. You can see just the freeze. And he looks back and he sees his fan. And the fan ends up tossing it to him before he goes out. And Donaldson was another one, the rainmaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was hilarious because they love that clubhouse long shot after a home run, right?
Yeah.
And they always get the high fives, but the broadcast loves going back when they're just sitting in the dugout, right?
Yep.
And he always had a purple tobacco pouch on him. And I was like, did they not see that they're just this is an advertisement for nicotine right now? But where I'm going with this is, again, Gibby, these guys, these are like, you think that's a ball player. Are these kids just, are these new 21-year-old kids, do they not do it? Or are they all of these Zins because it's like the cool thing to do now that they're all doing? But I don't like it. If that's what they're going to do, I don't like it. Unless you're, again, moving away from smoking, good for you guys.
Yep.
But are the kids just doing that now? Like the new ball players? Like, I don't know. I don't see them with the
just
big pooch
it's the
in their
thing
lip
to do.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like the, again, it just seems like a less cool way of being a ball player.
I got to tell you, Maddie, I just, as you know, and have known for a very long time, I don't know what the cool kids are doing. I cannot relate to the cool. When I was a kid, I couldn't relate to what the cool kids are doing. Now that I'm an old, old man, I certainly have no idea what the cool kids are doing. And
well, I liked earlier when you said, if you're a 38-year-old guy, like, we're that young anymore,
I
knew you were referencing us. And
no, well, I'll be honest with you. I am actually referencing a very specific guy who has never smoked a day in his life and suddenly showed up one day vaping. And I was just like, what you doing, bud?
And again, for the listeners, it's not Rob. There's no way he's 38.
No, he passed that poll quite a while ago.
If we're on the top of the over the hill, he's already rolling down to the bottom.
Way down, just tumbling. Now, I got to circle back because you held me up here from opening my second beer on the show.
Sorry.
To have that conversation. This one, real ones know. This comes from the Columbus Brewing Company. While I was down here, my friend Ashley, she had said she had a beer for me to try that had been sitting around since Christmas, and she wasn't going to drink it until I was here to drink it with her. And
you love friends like that, eh?
Yeah.
Good friend. That's a good friend right there.
And so I was really intrigued to see what this was. It turned out it wasn't a crazy, any kind of crazy beer, but on her way back from Nashville in December, where she had gone to see a Titans game, she stopped in Kentucky, and there was something called the Columbus Brewing Company. And like I said off the top, real ones know, I grew up in I always say Oshawa, but just north of Oshawa is this tiny little hamlet. They don't even call it a little town. They don't call it a little community. It's a hamlet
which I believe is defined by Webster as 50 residents or fewer, called Columbus. And Ashley also lived in that. So when she saw the Columbus Brewing Company, she got very excited, thought of me. I was excited by that. And so this is from the Columbus Brewing Company. They call it their Frosty Cones, which to me screams like hard nipples, but maybe that's a whole other thing.
That's where my head went. I was like, am I just a bad person?
Well, it's possible we're just both bad people. This is a 7.3% cold IPA. I'll be honest, I did meet up with Ashley on Saturday, had a few with her, so this won't be the first time I've tried this one. But you love a friend who thinks they see a beer and they go, that's for my friend, that's for Matt, and waits for you. And I didn't even have to substitute the name. You have friends who think of Matt as well. So
that's great, dude. That's a good friend. If anybody's listening to the show, don't feel bad about sending us some beer money. We'll always take it. Or just send us beer. Either way.
Yeah, the cash for it. Or just the beer itself. Either way.
Yeah.
So off the hop,
Matt's
here.
Probably, I was going to say, you're probably a little bit better about not giving your address to strangers, but I'll let everybody know.
I do every now and then get that, on the show. Like, I'll get in the DMs, like, I found this beer I want you to try. What's your address? And I'm like, how about you just tell me the name of the beer? We're reaching a lot of people. The show continues to grow. I absolutely believe most of these people are well-intentioned. It gets a little hairy handing out your address after doing this many shows.
Listen, good listener. If Matt told you, just tell me the name of the beer on Twitter, at Matt Lang, I'll give you my address if you want me to try a beer, okay? I'll meet you for a beer if you're buying. You can send it. No problem, okay? Just DM me.
This beer off the hop for 7.5% or 7.3%, I guess it was, from obviously Columbus, Ohio, not the Columbus just north of Oshawa, but we're going to, for appearance's sake and for fun's sake, we're gonna assume as much. It's a little fruity, got kind of a citrusy kick to it, not overly hoppy. I'm not getting a ton of that, but that happens sometimes when they get up into like the 7-8%, right? It I wouldn't say it's boozy, but sometimes that flavor starts to push out the hoppiness a little bit. So that's what I'm getting here. It's a nice beer. Just a small can, but that's all right. 7.3%, it'll do the job as we coast home here. Maddie, I want to ask you, and we'll get to the hockey thing first, but I know you're a bit of a boxing guy, so I am intrigued, if the good listener is intrigued by this as well. We'll get to, in a few minutes, Tyson versus Jake Paul. I'm intrigued at your opinion on how that's going to play out. I'm going to make you wait.
Okay.
We'll get to that. I want to talk about Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, Leafs and Oilers, Matthews versus McDavid. Neither one of them turns out to be the primary storyline for either of their teams. Just quickly want to shout out Ron McLean, who took a moment to reference the Canadian National Blind Hockey Championships on Hockey Night in Canada. That's really cool. I've known of this organization for a while, and I just wanted to mention this quickly. If you missed the segment, we'll post the link to Ron talking about it in the show notes and on our social media page. Maddie, you and I have gone down to watch a game or two of that together several years ago. It was at Mattamy, which is the former Maple Leaf Gardens, and a longtime friend of the show, Amy Burke, who is a Canadian Paralympian. Her two young sons, 9 and 5 years old, went down and played in the youth division. Both had a blast. Both are ecstatic to go back again next year. And just to quickly, you know, explain how it works, most often the forwards are the kids with the most residual vision. Then sort of defenders have a little bit of vision. And often your goalie is totally blind. The top of the net, the top third is kind of draped over, or just, if you have it, a shorter net. You don't roof things quite as much. The biggest rule change is that you have to complete a pass after you've crossed the blue line. You can't skate it in and shoot it. The puck does make noise, but it's supposed to give the defenders and the goaltenders one last chance to hear the puck before the shot is taken. So that's the biggest rule change. The referee will usually yell something similar to in real hockey. Like if you're onside or offside, if it's close, the linesman will often yell good, good, or whatever it might be. After the pass has been completed, the linesman will yell that you're good to shoot. So everyone knows where you're at in the play. And then,
you know, these people who are playing forward who have a little bit of vision or some vision enough to have created the play have the freedom to shoot. And so this goes up. Like I said, Amy's kids are 5 and 9, both played in the youth division. There is a teenage division. There's a competitive division. They're trying to make this thing become a winter Paralympic sport that'll be played at the national level. There are some European countries playing, Canada, USA obviously playing. I just thought it was a pretty cool moment that Ron McLean would mention it on Hockey Night in Canada, the biggest hockey game of the week, you know, on Saturday night on CBC. It was pretty cool for those people to have gotten a mention. And like I said, I know two little guys who were playing in the thing down there. So that was an awesome little moment. It's a moment where, you know, as someone who's been doing this as long as Ron McLean has been doing it, I have a platform here. I'm going to mention this. And Ron McLean took some shit, and perhaps rightfully so. There was a weird moment when he interviewed Bobby McMahon about Glenn Sather's mother's. It was a weird thing. So Ron McLean had an up and down night, but I thought it was pretty cool of him to have referenced that on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome. And I didn't actually, because I don't usually watch the intermission, I didn't see it until you mentioned it and I went and looked at it.
Yeah.
You guys know, well, for the longtime listener knows, I love just about every sport. Like, you could convince me to go watch anything at least once.
Yeah.
There's definitely a few fringy sports like roller derby and even Australian rules football that I've been involved with over my career. Mm-hmm.
Beach soccer.
Dude. Beach soccer, yeah, pretty fringe stuff sometimes. Blind hockey was, and you know, I've had the opportunity to work with some blind athletes in the past. Blind hockey was one of the cooler ones that you took me to.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have gone to it. I wouldn't even know it was happening.
Sure.
Except that you obviously brought it up and were like, come meet me. And I was, if you've never watched blind hockey, just YouTube and Google it. It is freaking amazing.
Yeah,
how good these athletes are. They skate better than and make better plays and make better passes than some of the guys on my beer league team. That's what I was like floored with, because I figured, okay, like, they're athletes, yes, they're visually impaired, I get it, but I didn't expect the tic-tac-toe passing that they do.
Right.
I was floored by how well they were.
And sometimes the name blind hockey is misleading to some people, right? And it's not a great name, if we're being honest. With like, blind is a, for most people, is a definite, or if you're blind, you're blind. These people aren't all blind. There are varying levels, right, of visual impairment. And so these are people who are playing forward often who don't have enough vision to drive, or, you know, certainly you wouldn't want being in charge of air traffic control at Pearson or things like that, but they have some vision. And so they can still skate and they play and whatever. And yeah, often the less vision you have, the further back on the ice you are. You can kind of hear the puck coming at you as a defender and break up a play and maybe make a pass to break it out. And so the play is actually pretty good. Is it, you know, as good as some beer leagues? No, it's not. But it's not about how good it is and how much it looks like the NHL. It's the fact that we're getting kids and people out there who love the game an opportunity to play it in an area that's fair or in an area that they can excel in. And it's awesome to watch in that regard, Maddie.
Hockey gets a bad rap a lot of times.
The NHL does that hockey is for everyone thing.
Yeah. I was just going to, that's exactly where my mind was going, buddy. It's like, hockey is for everyone. It is not for everyone.
As far as
not hard to find stories.
Yeah.
Not hard to find stories. This is hockey should be for everybody. Sports should be for everybody. You know, I was lucky, I always say, to do a lot of work with people of a lot of different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in undergrad at, doing like, it was still, fucking phys ed. I have a bachelor's of physical education. Like,
right.
Useless, right? I guess not useless, but it just sounds bad. It's not useless, but it sounds bad, right? Like,
right.
Now it's all fancy. It's kinesiology. Like, who cares? But I'm a phys ed grad. Thank God. Wear that badge strongly on my sleeve. But we got a great, one of the best things was the opportunities to work with people of different abilities. And I think that it was actually one of the biggest things in my life, my career. You know, I don't even like the word disability. Mm-hmm. That's me personally, again, having worked with a lot of people of different abilities.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's about making things accessible to everyone and giving people the chance to experience sport and experience competition and build teams and learn skills. And that's what's huge, right? That's what's huge. And also, they're great. they're freaking good, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're freaking good.
It doesn't have to look like the NHL. It's never going to. But if you look at it through a different lens of, like, do these people now have a chance to play the game at a level that they can fairly compete at? And you create fans that way. My little buddy, Lucas, who, like I said, went and played this weekend at this thing. He's 9 years old. I was the one who got him largely into the Leafs, right? His parents watch hockey. I was the Leafs guy, and he wanted, because it would piss his dad off. His dad doesn't like the Leafs, and so he would say to dad, I'm going to cheer for the Leafs with Matt. And then he comes to me like a year or two ago, and after he's been playing the blind hockey, and it's in Ottawa, so most of his little buddies there are Ottawa fans, and he comes to me at some point, and he goes, Matt, I'm not sure I'm going to cheer for the Leafs much more. They sure seem to lose a lot. And I went, yeah, you know what? You're a hockey fan now. You understand. You don't have to cheer for them. You don't have to boo them. But you now understand the reality of hockey. Yes, the Leafs do lose a lot. You now understand the game. And this created that window for him. So I thought it was very cool of Ron McLean to take that moment. The producers at Hockey, I give Rogers and their hockey presentation a lot of shit for doing things that I don't think are, yeah, I thought this was a cool thing. They had the puck on set. Ron held it up, and Kevin Bieksa did correct him, like, at one point, and said once, like, make sure you shake that. Did you explain that puck? Like, they wanted to get that out there. So I thought that was a cool moment. Also on hockey night, there was actual NHL action. Leafs end up going into the third period up 5-0. And I don't know about you. I want to actually ask you. I got a buddy who's a big Oilers fan, and the Oilers came out in the third, made it 5-2. And he texts me and goes, is your ass puckering yet? And I said, not yet. Asshole. Not yet. But I get why you would ask. And, you know, I just kind of said to him, teams who are getting trounced often get handed many power plays. And so I'm not worried yet. But then Edmonton made it 5-3, and I had to reply and said, okay, puckering, right?
Puckering, yeah.
Puckering a little bit. And so I thought, for the most part, pretty impressive performance for Toronto, who I've been hard on this year. I'm not always in love with the way this roster has been put together, but there was no doubt they had a really good performance. They let down a bit in the third. When you looked at that game, it was billed, as it always is, Matthews versus McDavid, and that didn't really turn out to be the storyline. But when you look at that game, do you look at that third period as Toronto being Toronto and letting teams get back in it? Do you look at it as just sort of the inevitable, we're up by a huge amount, and so you're kind of going to sit back in the third period like most teams do? The Oilers just being too good to hold down at 5-0. Like, when you look, the game was what it was at 5-0 in the third period. But I'm curious your opinion on that third period and what you thought went into it and how Edmonton got back into it.
Brother, if it was the other way around and Edmonton won 5-3, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be talking because we're not those people, but the mainstream media ones, especially on Sportsnet, and the guys like Kipper and all these idiots on, like, Barstool Sports would be talking about, oh, we told you the Leafs weren't good. Edmonton is in a different class. They're a real competitor. They're a team that could win the cup. The Leafs are so far behind. They have no compete level. Is there any talk like that about the Leafs right now? We just went over. We beat, what, the second best team in the West or whatever they are?
It's funny, as you and I, to be fair, man, it is funny. As you and I sit here with no ability to see the future, the Leafs maybe get pumped by Carolina Sunday night, and you and I are talking about how they don't get a fair shake. So there is another world where the listener is hearing it. But specifically, yeah, about, you're right about how that would have been presented coming out of Saturday if there wasn't a Sunday game, like, that you and I just don't know how it's going to play out, right?
Whole different way that the Leafs, and we know it's because it was always bad. It was bad 20 years ago. It was bad 10 years ago. It's gotten worse now that everything is in this clip era. Mm-hmm. So even the people with mainstream media jobs, and they're going to be on TV every day, they still say stupid shit because they know that's where the clicks are and the engagement is going to come from. Let's be serious, right? Yep. That's how these any of these media companies, they all know that, right? They're training their talking heads to be like this, right? And as much as we hate Sportsnet, like, ESPN's even worse. I watch some ESPN nowadays, and it's like, it's even worse. They're just saying dumb stuff.
I saw somebody complaining
sometimes.
The other day that ESPN's coverage is terrible because they have Emily Kaplan doing sideline reporting and Ray Ferraro on color. And I was like, dude, can we trade right now? I will make you that trade right now. Can we do that?
Even like the whole TNT setup for hockey,
yeah.
I love when we get it, or I'll watch clips later on of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I mean,
it's a totally
presentation. I don't always love when you got like the fourth line guys who are the talking guys nowadays.
Yeah.
But Biz is really good.
Biz is good. Relatable. Every now and then they drop good. Biz onto hockey night. Like if someone's away, like it's once in a blue moon. You know who's great down there is Anson Carter is fantastic.
Oh. Amazing.
He's so good. Yeah.
I love him.
They just, ESPN and TNT have had the NHL rights for 2 years. They're already doing it better than anyone in Canada at this point.
Like. Way better. I love that, the Mark Messier, you get like Wayne Gretzky. I don't always love PK because he's kind of.
That's so weird, because you know that guy's got personality, but sometimes he seems to like be reserved out of nowhere. I don't know what that is.
And then it's like super aggressive at other times.
Yeah.
Right. Like you watch him on interviews. He does a little Pat McAfee show and it's like, why don't you do this?
Right.
He's always been a darling on the media. He's well-spoken. He's engaging, entertaining. And then when you watch him on TNT, you're like, oh man, like what's going on here? Like, I don't care about your crazy suits right now. Right. Like just, like be the flamboyant guy, do that, right? Like sure. You want to be the fashion guy, be that guy.
Yep.
But it kind of just like the way he plays his persona up is a little bit off against the other guys, right?
Yep. Up here, like I look at on TSN, Cheryl Pounder is terrific. And then honestly, it's not as good as it used to be. I love when semi-retired Bob shows up out of nowhere. I kind of like Jeff O'Neill on his talk radio show. I don't love him on the panel. On Sportsnet,
fair.
It's not great. There's not a lot.
I'm an O-Dog guy. I love O-Dog.
Okay, yeah.
I think, and maybe it's because most of it's, Overdrive?
Overdrive,
that's his show, right?
Yeah.
I think the dynamic with him and Noodles is pretty good.
I think that talk show, and Brian Hayes, like I like him a lot. I think that works. I don't love O-Dog on the panel.
Again, it's like he waits for these weird pauses to kind of talk.
Yeah.
That's my biggest criticism of him on the panel. He also looks like pissed off half the time, which is maybe part of his thing.
Well, I think he's a fan like us, and there's a lot of reasons to look like you're pissed off.
Well, for sure. Right? But he just looks sometimes like he's like, why did I come to work today?
Right.
you know, which, hey, granted, listen, every job's like that, right? Sure. You guys listening to this on the way to work on a Monday, everybody feels like that, right? You're like, again, but maybe smile for the camera, O-Dog, right?
Right.
Like, just a little bit.
If we can come back around to it, like we're talking about the coverage of that Leafs Oilers game, but if the game itself, how did you view that third period? Did the Leafs collapse? Was it a more natural just, everybody sits back when they're leading? Yeah. Was it the Oilers suddenly getting it going? How did you see that?
That's where I'm at. You know, you're up 5-0. You start playing a different brand of hockey.
Right.
That's what it is. It's just, and if anybody doesn't understand that, you say you don't have the killer instinct. It worries me when the Leafs are up 3-1 and let their foot off the gas.
That's that whole, that for people who love the fancy stats or hate the fancy stats, the one there is score effects. Because every team, it always feels like your team because you watch your team more than you watch any other team. But any team who has a lead going into the third period sits back a little. We're subconsciously, and coaches do their absolute best to coach that out of you. Don't do it. You have to attack. You have to keep going. But inevitably, if you're leading going into the third period, you will sit back. The other team will have more shots. They're more desperate. They're going to come at you. And so, yeah, I do think there was a bit of that with what happened with Edmonton and Toronto on Saturday.
Well, I'll give you one better. Sometimes it's not even sitting back. It's just you're up 5-1.
Yeah.
You start to try things.
Hmm.
You start to say, I can chip this puck by that guy. I can try a behind the back pass.
Oh no, that guy's Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That's that's what happens, right? In a 3-1 game, you're dialed in and you're not thinking to yourself, example of like being on a breakaway, you shoot, right? You kind of like shift your weight, try to get the goalie off, and then you usually shoot, maybe one move. If you're up 5-0, you're going to try something stupid. Because if it works, it's great.
Yeah.
It happens in beer. It happens in recreation. Sport we were playing, my buddy, I hate that I play this sport, but my buddy got me out to play Ultimate Frisbee again after 5 years. And nice. I was like, cool, because I got a world, right? We got to get our heart rate up and our lungs going a little bit. So I'm like, cool, it's a reason for me to run. We were up by like 5. Yeah, I'm throwing crazy things to the end zone, right? Like, who cares? Because you're up by 5. If it was a last game, it was we needed to score 2 points quickly to get the tie. No, everything is dialed in and you're making quick, smart passes and you're running specific play routes. But if you're up by a lot, who cares, man? Have fun. These guys are no different. You kind of just relax. I don't think it's a big deal. Again, I'm more worried, like the game last Saturday against Carolina.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
No.
That game bothered me. But this one.
Yeah, that was alarming. Yeah.
We got 2 points out of against the big, mighty Edmonton Oilers, everybody. Yep. We got 2 points out of them. It's tough. I get it, though. Like, fans, even though we're smart fans, right? We're smarky fans. It's tough because you see this team and you go, you could be the number one points. You should be competing for the President's Cup or the President's Trophy, sorry.
Yep.
Right? This team is that good. And sometimes you watch them and you're like, how do we not already have 100 points? It's frustrating.
I get ripped a little bit, and correctly so, for being a bit of a hypocrite. Because I say often, I don't love the way this team is put together. I'm not sure this team is put together as well as previous editions of the Leafs have been put together. And look, it hasn't worked. And so if the Joel Edmondson-led Leafs go on a deep playoff run this year, I'll have to eat that, and that's fine. But at the same time, I sometimes turn around and say, yeah, this team is better than that, or this team should be better than... I was disappointed to see them give up 3 in the third period on Saturday, but I'm not walking away from that going, crisis, right? Like, they're in trouble. They're going to spiral. You just look at it and go, 2 of your top penalty killers in Marner and Yarncroke are out, and you know when one team is up by 5 in the third period, that's the team that's going to get penalized for that whole third period. That's the way NHL officiating works. And so I don't really know what this team is yet, Matty. I don't think they're as good as previous years, but I don't think they're bad. Like, I don't think it's a bad team. I really don't know how this is going to shake loose. You kind of threw a little shade maybe on with the way you phrased the big bad Oilers. Do you view them as legit in the West as a team that could possibly come out of the Western Conference?
Not a chance.
Really?
Not a chance. And again, maybe these words come back to bite me. I just think they're too, and they've been too reliant on McDavid. I just don't see.
It's funny, because I'm sure we all assumed that Hyman was going to get 49 and 50 in Toronto on Saturday night, because that would be a very phenomenal thing to have happen.
Of course.
Hyman does get 49, but it is essentially Connor McDavid shooting the puck off of Hyman's stick into the net. Like, he's
it's that joke,
good,
right?
Man.
That like you or I could get 20 goals playing with Connor McDavid, right?
I absolutely believe if you gave me a season, all season, no matter how slow, no matter how bad I am at hockey, if you give me a whole season on Connor McDavid's line, I will score an NHL goal. That will happen. And it will be him banking it off my fat ass into the net, but I will score an NHL goal in that scenario.
And have the celebration ready to go,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, it will be legendary.
Listen, I might be the greatest beer league in front of the net goal scorer, okay? And now a lot of that has to do with the fact that, especially in the over 30 leagues, guys don't like to go to the front of the net, right? But that's
I
how
work
I
tomorrow.
Fucking make
I can't
my
get beat up.
Yeah, that's how I make my living.
Right. Okay.
I plug my fucking fat ass down there, maybe a little off to the side sometimes, like the old Brett Hall kind of off to the corner move.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I live in front. I love trying to get those puck tips. I love that stuff. I love the little like push and shove in front of that, especially as a smaller guy.
You have a Michael Bunting guy, because you're not a big guy,
yeah,
there, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just a
definitely
pest.
Not a big guy. Oh. Yeah, and I got the small shoulder pads now too. Like, the Cooper ones, like the the real tiny ones. So I look real small out there against Shanahan's. Some of the guys, right? Okay. Yeah, and buddy, like I guarantee you, like McDavid would just be bouncing shit off my my blades all day. He'd be like, "Yeah, buddy, just go don't do anything. There. Don't even look at me. Just actually, don't make eye contact. Just stand in front." You're weirding me out.
Yeah. But you've got no love for them smiling. Coming out of the West, eh?
No, I just don't think we got Vegas. You've got Winnipeg. You've got.
Do you believe in Vancouver? I'm not sure.
I don't think I believe in Vancouver. I want to. I tried to watch them a little bit. It's a later game. I try to catch a little bit of the first period. I just don't know why I don't believe in them. Edmonton, they'll just. I've watched them more. I don't see them going through the four rounds. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like how a lot of people look at the Leafs. I look at Edmonton. McDavid is going to push you through.
Right? It's the path.
Yeah. I don't see them. Like, who's it?
I look at Winnipeg. They're going to have to go through Dallas and Colorado before getting to it. Like, I'd like to see Winnipeg do well. That's fucking tough. Yeah.
I think they're just those four teams we just named are just, you know, four lines. I don't want to say four lines deep, but they're tough lines to play against.
Yeah.
And they play that old, like, what I think of like that West, you know, Western Conference hockey, right? It's a little bit tough. And I just don't think, I don't know. I just don't see this team being strong enough to get through four rounds again.
I did mention there a few minutes ago, I wanted to get your take on Jake Paul.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Just before you say that, I do think they're going to go farther than the Senators do this year, though.
Yeah, I think.
I think they're going to do better.
I do believe that's a reasonable projection for how this.
Yeah, I don't see the Senators doing much in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, I don't know. Not their season.
Just had to throw down that heel turn halfway through the show here, right? let's talk about the Tyson thing. Because, look, you and I talked. I actually had no idea how much of a boxing guy you were until we were going to tee up Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And at that point, you started throwing down names and references and stuff that I had no fucking idea about. And I don't claim to be a boxing guy. When I watch MMA and then I watch boxing, they're just not the same thing. Now, I had to tune in to Ngannou versus Fury. Like, I had to see how that was going to go. It didn't go well for Ngannou. But we're going to do on Netflix at Cowboy Stadium, whatever the hell, AT&T Stadium in Dallas. They, by all accounts, they're not setting it up to be 100,000 people, but they will have over 60,000 people there. It's going to be on Netflix. It bugs me. It's a pet peeve thing that they say free on Netflix. It's not free. You have to have a Netflix subscription, but I understand what it means. It's not going to be $60. It's not going to be $80. If you have a Netflix subscription, you'll be able to watch this. This is the biggest thing that Jake Paul has tried. In the past, he's boxed former UFC guys who've had hip replacements, or he's boxed Floyd Mayweather, who clearly didn't give a shit and at one point was quite clearly holding him up so they could go the distance. I have a feeling Floyd probably had some money riding on that fight going the distance. It was an exhibition. When we look at Jake Paul and Mike Tyson at 58 years old, but probably the hardest hitting heavyweight of all time, do you think A, that this is real, that Tyson is taking it seriously and will gear up to fight Jake Paul? And if so, what does this look like? Does Tyson dummy this guy? Is 58 too old to contend with somebody who is significantly younger and less competent, obviously, than Mike Tyson, but way younger? Like, is there a risk Tyson's head and chin, after everything he's been through, is just too soft? How do you look at this, man? And what's your interest level in Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson?
Oh man, I don't look at this as an exhibition, right? One thing though, just, it was his brother that fought Floyd, right?
Oh, you're right. It was Logan.
It was the other one.
No, right? You're right. You're right. One. I'm sorry about that. Yes.
Okay.
I appreciate you correcting me there. That's right.
I wanted to make sure I didn't.
No, you're right.
Dream out the other way, because that I did pay for that fight. Because they could, I grew up watching boxing. I love boxing.
Yeah.
There hasn't been, boxing has struggled to find new stars. The last time I bought a fight, it would have been, for a Tyson Fury fight. He's usually good for I didn't buy the him Ngannou one.
And I think I said a few minutes ago the most recent Ngannou Fury, it was Joshua that was an embarrassment.
Yes. Joshua, yeah. And now I think Joshua, and if people have watched boxing or at least followed it, Joshua always kind of gets the rap of this guy should be the best. Mm-hmm. And then whether he's distracted or too busy posing for GQ,
it look like he took Ngannou more seriously than Fury did?
That's it. I think he was able to, he knew what he was getting into with Ngannou.
Yeah.
Where I think Fury was like, all right, cool. This is a great payday.
Yeah.
And I think which is what he did, right? He just tapped him around, got his points, but he did get tagged pretty hard. And everybody, that was the clip everybody was pushing around.
Being like, knocked down. Yeah.
How do you lose when you do this? And you're like, well, okay, you don't understand boxing. Right. Boxing's really not about knocking the guy out. It's about
one moment.
Tapping points.
Yes.
Exactly. And I think, I was so surprised when Ngannou got knocked down. By Joshua.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
He dummied him. It wasn't close,
The knockout specifically was like they come out of the corner and he just walks up and walloped him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a guy who is maybe the best puncher in MMA versus somebody who's the best puncher in boxing.
In punching. Right? Like, yes.
That the speed, the shoulder angles, he threw him off that he didn't think that punch was coming.
That's right.
The way he reacted, he didn't even put a guard, he didn't touch it, he didn't flinch. That was somebody who never saw that.
He embarrassed him. It wasn't close. Yeah. That was clearly in that moment, Francis Ngannou moonlighting in Anthony Joshua's world. And Joshua went, yeah, no, we're done here.
Yeah. You're not embarrassing me.
No.
Right. I'm not taking this L. I'm not going to even get close to what Fury had to deal with here.
Yeah.
I'm putting you straight. And again, if you watch boxing, Joshua is so good. And then sometimes you watch him and you're like, what are you doing? Right. Again, I think there's like some distraction stuff with him. I don't think he's, because if you're the best British boxer in the world, you have a little bit of hype, especially in Europe, right?
Yeah, you're a star.
Yeah, they still love their boxing, right? More than MMA in Europe, right?
Yep.
So, this is hard for me because Tyson, personal issues aside, it's funny how with some of these guys we look past their things, right? And I think Tyson's kind of got to that point now. But his personal stuff aside, he's done some bad fucking shit in his life, guys. Like, let's not forget, he was in jail for a reason.
Yeah.
And not a good one. It wasn't tax evasion. It was bad shit. Now
stealing bicycles.
Yeah. He is. And again, maybe it's just boxers, right? But like Floyd Mayweather's my favorite boxer.
Okay.
Because of, he's somebody when you watch him box, you can appreciate what he's doing, right? That he doesn't get hit. His defense is amazing. Now, Mike Tyson, again, we were a little bit young. He was crazy by the time 100%. We were old enough to appreciate it. But you go back and you watch his stuff, as I have on YouTube and Killed Saturdays, dude was a menace. And even now when you see him train, he was training Ngannou for that Fury fight. You see the stuff he does with his body and his control and the power and the speed. You can't help but get excited.
Yeah.
But he's a fucking old man.
He's a 58-year-old man.
He's a fucking old dude. The one thing I'll say, though, is, right, like when Floyd fought the other Paul, Floyd never had knockout power.
No.
Right? Never had knockout power.
Floyd's thing was his defense. Like he would.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch him.
If he stopped you, it's because he hit you so many times that your body just gave up.
Yeah.
Right. And that was it. Right. Like that was the one chance Manny had when they fought finally, probably too late, but like that he had a little more power. He just couldn't.
Yeah, Pacquiao,
he threw something like 1,000 punches and hit him like 20 times. Like just couldn't touch him. Again, Floyd was fighting a guy 3 or 4 weight classes up with a longer reach, 20 years his younger, and he still clipped him and knocked him out and had to hold him up because I'm pretty sure in the contract it said you can't knock me out.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories aside, I don't
think that's in the Tyson thing.
100%. Because Tyson is going to get an absolute bang.
That's it. You just totally killed my interest.
But I can't remember which former UFC.
Why would Mike Tyson sign that? Mike Tyson, between his boxing career and the hangover and the whatever, Mike Tyson financially is doing fine. Why sign something that says, by the way, don't embarrass me?
Now, here's the one thing I'll say, though, right? And if you've I know you've watched this, but if anybody else listening has ever watched the WrestleMania, was that 13 or 12 where Tyson shows up as a guest referee?
For Austin Michaels? That's 14. Yeah. Yeah.
14. Okay.
I thought you might be talking about Floyd fighting the Big Show years later.
Another great show, one. Yeah. Where he breaks his nose or something, right?
Yeah, but
there's another great example, right? Like, even in those two events, they go, okay, here's what we're doing. But they're also like, fuck, is he gonna flip the switch?
Right.
Because we also can't stop him from flipping the switch, because it's not a fan running out and we're gonna take him down. It is a fucking champion, right? Yeah, and they can hold their own against us. Now, do I think maybe Paul says something at a press conference and just pisses Tyson off, and Tyson goes, okay, and then just turns and breaks a rib?
Right.
With a liver punch or something? Maybe. That's what I'm hoping for. That's probably why I'll pay the money for it, just in case he does it. Now, what was it? He fought, was it Tony 3 years ago, 4 years ago? He didn't look great, right? He was, again, 5 years younger, whatever he was.
Who, Paul?
When that Tony fight happened.
Jake Paul
Mike
fought?
Tyson.
Oh, okay. No, he fought.
It wasn't Tony. I'm
no,
dropping it
Roy Jones Jr.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a great fight.
No.
It well, wasn't
too old
good.
Man.
That's the problem. Like, I get that, you know, the Paul brothers make money on the spectacle, right?
Yeah.
But at some point, I think anybody who watches boxing is like, okay, dude, get in the ring with somebody real, right? And he got in the ring with Tyson's half brother or whatever he is, who is really just a TV celebrity star and as well, but a boxer, not a great pro boxer, but he beat him. Right. So it's like, get in the ring with other real boxers and see if you can win.
But one who's preferably not eligible for the discounts at Shoppers Drug Mart. Like, what are we doing? I understand that Mike Tyson is legit. He's as legit as it gets. But that was 30 years ago. And so I'm intrigued by the fact that you think, I don't want to overstate this, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that you think not necessarily that this is rigged, but that Mike Tyson has already agreed, I promise not to knock you out. Is that sort of where you're at?
I don't know how to get that thought out of my head after we all saw Floyd Mayweather holding the other Paul brother up after clipping him.
Yeah.
I just don't know how that's not in the back of everybody's head. There's been wins that this Paul has had against UFC fighters where you're like, that was the knockout punch?
Right.
He looked a little phantomy to me.
Right.
It's a little... Yeah, his fights are just a little suspect.
Yeah.
But again, it's Mike Tyson, so am I going to give him my $70?
Well, you don't even have to. You only got to give him like 11.
Oh, it's on
11.
Netflix.
Yeah.
So, then definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving Netflix the money, I guess.
So let me ask you this, in sort of a similar vein. Does Netflix, does AT&T Stadium care that this is a freak show? Like that this might already be predetermined? And again, I don't know if it's predetermined. Maybe they just go the distance again and Jake Paul gets turned on. See, I hung with Mike Tyson. You all said I couldn't hang with real boxers. Well,
exactly.
Pick one who's not eligible for social insurance or something. But does Netflix, do AT&T Stadium, do they care? Or for them, is it whatever? No, is it just about selling tickets and driving subscriptions?
Sports entertainment.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right. This
right,
is WrestleMania.
And next year's WrestleMania will be free for you Netflix subscribers,
yep.
As far as I understand, at least in the U.S.
No,
I don't.
Right. No,
I think
in
it is
Canada too
here, right?
By then, yeah.
Well, that's good. I like that. I do. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
at least this, month with WrestleMania coming up 2 days, and then you get like Payback. I know it's in France or something, so it's an afternoon one for us here in North America.
Yeah.
But that's like, it's all within 4 weeks on Sportsnet Plus.
Yeah.
So if you want to get some more Sportsnet Plus.
As a Leaf fan who lives in Ottawa, I already had to get it just for Leaf game, for
right.
the NHL package. And then they added the WWE stuff. And suddenly I'm like, all right, let's watch the Rumble.
And it was, for me, like, you know, obviously I'm not blacked out of any of the games or whatever. So Sportsnet Plus doesn't do enough for me because they have like FA Cup. If they had more European soccer tournament stuff, I might. Bite it sometimes, but then if you go on to pay-per-view, you still got to pay $70 for WrestleMania. So yeah, for a month, you know, Sportsnet Plus is getting my money, right? Like for $30 or whatever it is, or 35. Yeah, I'll watch 2 days of WrestleMania.
Let me just ask you then, finally on this. Let's say, Maddie, I know this has never actually happened before. Let's say you're wrong, and this is a real boxing match. Amateur level, and maybe I'm being too cruel, too unfair to Jake Paul. But Jake Paul, as he is at 28 or years old and with some level of competence at boxing, versus 58-year-old Mike Tyson and his power. Someone's forcing you to throw $100 down on that fight. How do you see that fight going? The best ever, but at 58 years old versus Jake Paul, but 30 years younger. What happens in that fight if it does turn out that it's legit?
I say this with respect to both Pauls. They are freaking great athletes.
They are.
Right? I think it'd be hard to say, even if he's just doing these exhibition fights, you know, like they're amazing athletes because they
he's
can
not incompetent up, in the ring. He's
exactly. Yeah. But he's a guy who's been boxing for what, 4 years, 5 years? And I think, like we saw with Ngannou 2 weekends ago or whatever it was now, the body positioning and the speed and the different looks a fighter like Mike
when
has been doing
it. And how to angle. Yeah, yeah.
How to change your body position, how to make it look like you're throwing, like just all these little things. And even at 58, watching a training video is different than watching somebody.
Sure it is.
Even than watching them spar, right?
Yeah.
Because they're throwing combinations that they are planning to do and you don't have to react to somebody else. But man, Mike looks fast. He looks fast. And I just don't know how long he can go and be that fast.
Yeah.
I think you're going
to
see,
like, you, Maddie, I don't know
30
boxing
seconds here and there.
Anywhere near the boxing knowledge that you have. Mike's power still looks like it's there. I don't know his endurance and I don't know his chin. He's been through some shit, right? Like that guy. So I don't know. But it does feel like to me, if Jake was to make a small mistake somewhere in the first 4 or 5 rounds, Tyson could knock him out fast. But I'm not sure that's what happens.
I think if Mike decides.
If it was real, maybe, yes.
If it's real, yeah. Or if it's not real, but Paul
Mike
says
changes.
Something.
Yeah, just pisses
and
him
he
off.
Just he just decides, forget this, which could very well happen.
100%.
Man, I really think he ends it with a body shot. I think he ends it with a body shot and he just puts, we just see him collapse
at the midsection. Yeah.
I think it's just one of those, he slips something and just hits a left into his body and just collapses
his
liver.
Shuts down his liver.
I think that's if I was booking it, that's how I'm booking it. Put it that way. Right. I think, and listen, it doesn't hurt. You know, does it hurt Paul that he gets knocked out by a 58-year-old? Listen, Mike Tyson would beat all of us up.
100%. No, you know, no question.
There is like 0.05% of the population that would not probably go into the hospital if you fought Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Even at 58, I don't care how tough you think.
If I cut Mike Tyson in line at the subway at Merivale Mall across from the studio, I expect to leave on a stretcher. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So.
If you gave me the choice of fighting a bear or Mike Tyson, I'm fighting the bear.
I'll take the bear. The bear might get
because
bored. The bear might leave.
Yeah, that's not that I can beat a bear, but maybe he gets bored.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, I am not winning anything.
Yeah. No, I will admit, the Jake Paul versus Ben Askren, the Diaz stuff, none of it had held any interest to me. It was all, and look, you know me, man. I love UFC. I love MMA. I'm into all that stuff. But you're inviting these old retired guys who are clearly washed into the boxing world. This is similar in that Tyson is clearly old and washed too. But at least he is a real boxer, and I believe him. When I see his Instagram story and how hard he's still hitting, I go, you're probably going to get me to watch this, right? You're probably at a Netflix subscription price for 1 month. You're probably going to get me on this one. And that has not been the case on any of the others. These were sideshows. I believe their promotion is called Triller. I've been calling them Trailer Fights. This is where I'm at with it. But you'll probably get me to watch this one. So...
I'm with you, especially because it's on Netflix. So I guess I don't have to throw too much money at it.
Right.
yeah, I am going to be all in on it. Yeah. I hate to say it, but I'm going to be all in on it.
And on, as you said, despite everything he's been through and how controversial he is, I'm staunch Team Tyson here. I want him to dummy this kid. And so I hope it's not rigged. I hope it's
all,
not.
All the bad shit he's done in his life, he's still my favorite boxer.
Yeah.
Like he's just still my favorite boxer. And yeah, like if he was just fighting other senior citizens, I'd still watch the fights. Like I'm not going to, you know, maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, yeah. maybe an idiot, but, or maybe I just get bored easy. I don't know, but I would buy anything he's doing. So I'm all in.
That's where we'll wrap this one up. Matty, always appreciate you stepping in, buddy. And especially being able to talk about the Tyson and Jake Paul stuff there. I know you got a better handle on the boxing thing than I do, so that was cool. And yeah, man, it's been a minute. We won't let quite so much time go by again before doing it up. But appreciate you stepping in and doing this remotely while I was, you know, we're talking about senior citizens boxing. I had to come down here and celebrate the birthday of someone entering senior citizenship. I appreciate
it. I would never say that to him to his face, but that's just me.
I think he knows. I think he's aware. I also think he'd beat the piss out of Jake Paul. So anybody who knows the real man, yeah, you're not going to bet against me on that.
No, not at all. I still remember one day he just came behind me and threw me into the lake.
Yeah.
And I've never felt like such a small human being in my life.
I had many, or not many, I had a few friends.
And I'm not that. You know, we joke around about me being small. I'm not small. I'm an average sized human being, but I felt like a child. Put it that way.
Average, eh? Yeah, I don't know. I had a couple buddies in high school who always thought the old man looked a little like Big John Studd back in the day.
So, I've never thought about that, but that is
Big John Studd has grayed a little bit here in the recent past, but yeah, not a terrible comparison. So that's where we'll wrap this one up, Matty. Thanks for doing it, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, brother.
Anything you want to pimp here?
It's a pleasure. No, nothing to pimp these days, man. Okay. Just taking it easy. Enjoying a little bit of this early spring weather we're getting here, you know?
Yeah, all right. Well, you quite rightly referenced what Mike Tyson is capable of doing to Jake Paul's liver. You did that to your own liver last night. I'm doing it to myself here today on the show, and that's how we'll wrap this one up. Stick around over the next couple of weeks. Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet is going to be back. Dan Schulman, the voice of your Blue Jays, will be back. Lever Sage here again Thursday, and we might stick around. We might have a surprise for you on that edition of the podcast as well. So for Matty Lang, my name's Matt Robinson. We'll wrap this up here. His socials will be in the show notes at tallcanaudio.com. Ours are always the same at tallcanaudio. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you all have a great week. We'll talk to you later on.
We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this still clown was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time.